Breakthrough in the church. Breakthrough. What's breakthrough? Breakthrough. Well, you could have said break out. You could have said break in. I don't know why we went with breakthrough. You could have said break up. You could have said break down. You could have said lots of things like that, but we're dealing with breakthrough. The word through implies to me, friends, that before we can reach whatever is there, we have to go through. Before we can reach it, there's a process of going through. Whatever that is, whatever breakthrough is, friends, in the church. The dictionary says the word through is a voyage of discovery. A voyage of discovery. When you go through, friends, you enter into something and you discover something new. For the medical researcher, it may be a new drug. For the businessman, it's reaching his targets or her targets. For the sports person, it may be a new personal best. For the recently new parents, it could be a good night's sleep. As many know who've had young babies. But for the church, known as the Ecclesia of God, the called out ones, that's what we are. That's what we are this morning, the called out ones. So what does the through look like? The breakthrough. What does through look like to you? What does it look like concerning the church? Concerning us? The church isn't a building. It's us here this morning. Is it the signs and wonders that we have longed for? Is it the miracles that we long for, friends? Is it Bede College being so full that we need to look for a new venue? Is that the breakthrough? The church building? A breakthrough in finance in the church? Is that what we are looking for, a breakthrough? Seeing lots of decisions every week, is that the breakthrough that we're looking for? And people being added to the church. What is this breakthrough that we are desiring to have? We've dealt with the personal breakthrough. We've dealt with ministry and service. And the title that we have this morning is Breakthrough in the Church. Whatever that is, it's always going to be preceded by a process of breaking. With a breaking. A process of breaking. Which will result in breakthrough. Something has to break. It, I believe, is having a belief that there is a place, there is a position, there is a realm, there is a sphere that we as the church are moving towards and to arrive there. But there is a process of a breaking before you can experience the through. Whatever that may be, friends. This morning, not in the future, I believe this morning, God is saying about the breakthrough that we need. I prayed much about this, friends, and I believe that, you know, just like God chose Bethlehem, that insignificant Bethlehem, for the Son of Almighty God to come and be born in. He's chosen me this morning. And I am the least. I am the most. You would never pick me to preach on this subject this morning. You wouldn't. And isn't that just like God? Isn't that like God that He chooses the foolish things of this world to confound the mighty? To confound all the great thinkers? God's chosen the foolish things of this world. And this morning, friends, not in the future, but this morning, the breakthrough that I feel that God's laid on my heart, and as a corporate body, it's for us as a leadership, right? It's for us as a church. The church breakthrough, I believe, friends, is a very simple thing, and that's love. That's love. We need a breakthrough of love. And this word is going to help us see that we do need a breakthrough of love. You might think that I haven't shown love by pointing that out this morning. But rest assured, friends, the love that I have to see this church moving on in God. What do you do when your children, right, don't do something? A parent will love them. And they will say, you should do this. A parent will say, you should do that. So, love is not just a soppy thing, not just a love like the world, like the spoiled child will say, if you love me, you wouldn't do that. If you love me, you wouldn't say that. Well, friends, love, I feel, is a breakthrough that we need. Of course, we can't conscrew this. We can't, you know, sort of generate it by a human effort. Love is foundational. Love is what we need, friends. Love is powerful. In the Word of God, love is the essence of Christian life. I don't want to go into a lot of description about love, because there's different types of love. But the greatest chapter in the Bible about love, of course, is 1 Corinthians 13, isn't it? In the midst of a church where there was so much taken up with themselves, pleasures of self, pleasures of gratifications, no self-denial in the Corinthian church, divided against one another. People would say, I'm of Apollos, I am of Cephas, instead of keeping their eyes on God. And if you were looking this morning to men, mere men, who are leading this fellowship, friends, that's not the way to do it. We're just like the Corinthian church. God gives the increase. Apollos might have watered, Cephas planted, and Cephas watered, but God gives the increase. Keeping our eyes on God, instead of going to law against each other, Christians in this church were going to law against each other. There was sexual immorality. There was idolatry. There was lots of going on, but also there was lots of good things going on as well. There was lots of gifts being operated. They came behind in no gift. And Paul, in chapter 12, encourages them, verse 31, but earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. So it's not how good we are at something. It's not the talent that we possess, friends. The way that Paul was showing the Corinthian church was that it's not your gifts, it's not the money, it's not what you do, it's who you are and how you manifest these gifts. And he says, I show you a more excellent way. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have faith so that I could move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity. It rejoices in truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Where there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which in part will be done away with. We are encouraged in the following verse to pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. That word pursue means to closely follow, to chase even, to chase, to follow after, to run after, running after love. Of course, it's agape love. It's not a love that a husband and wife have for each other. That's philia love. It's not the erotica kind of love, that lustful love. That's eros in the Greek. And in the Greek, it's agape or agape. It's that kind of love that the church is built on. It's that kind of love that Christ said is the mark of the church. Not how many people are in the church, not what kind of band you've got, or what kind of production you can put on. It is love, friends. It's love out of a sincere heart. It's love. It's agape love. And if you've got it this morning, put your hands up. Not sure? Well, some aren't sure. Some aren't sure about that. Love is the fundamental thing. My Bible tells me that if we do not love God, we are none of His. We don't belong to God. We don't know God. Whoever doesn't love God and love one another doesn't know God, hasn't got a clue about God. It's the mark, friends, not just of a disciple, it's the mark of the church. Virtually every group or organization is known by a symbol or a sign. But Jesus gave a distinguishing mark, which was an outstanding feature. of the disciples. And love is the hallmark of the church. Let's just turn to the Acts of the Apostles, friends. Because in chapter 2, we find that the Holy Spirit had been outpoured, and they continued, verse 42, chapter 2, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Fear came upon all soul, every soul. Many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together. There was a togetherness. And had all things in common. There was a common bond between them. They sold their possessions and goods. This was an expression of their love. They divided them among all, everyone, as everyone had need. That was their expression of love. And so continually, daily, with one accord in the temple, together, oneness, in one accord. They were in one accord previously, friends, when the power of the Holy Spirit came. They were together, 120 in the upper room. They were all in one accord. They divided among themselves everything as anyone who had need, and continued daily with one accord, breaking bread from house to house. And they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. The mark, friends, of the church is love. The mark of this church here, New Life Church. Love. We haven't arrived. We can love greater. We can love each other greater. I can, you can. It's not Pentecostalism. It's not baptism, the Baptists. It's not the Methodists in Methodism. No, friends, it's what Jesus said in John 13, 34. He said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. There we see how to love one another. And it's not just how to love brothers and sisters in the church, it's loving your wife, husbands. It says, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Sadly, I don't do that. I haven't got that far yet. I love Carol, but I could do better. Like Christ loved the church, he gave himself for it, so that it would be a church without spot, without wrinkle. A glorious church. And you know, husbands, fellas, young people who anticipate maybe getting married once you get a bit older, to love your wife how Christ loved the church is achievable. He wouldn't say it. It wouldn't be down there if it wasn't achievable to love your spouse as Christ loved the church. We can learn a lesson. I can. We can learn a lesson from there. But we don't want to go down that road, really. A new commandment. For the first time in history. In history that a group of people will be known by the love they have for each other. This is the greatest tool for evangelism that the church has. I believe that, friends. It's the greatest tool for evangelism that the church will ever have. And that's love for one another. By this will all men, all women, know that you are a disciple of Jesus Christ. You see, if our homes don't demonstrate that, if our lives don't demonstrate that at work, in the home, in the community, and if people can point the fingers and say, call themselves Christians. But even if people don't point the finger, you know how you're living. You know if you're reaching that mark to love one another as Christ loved the church. I think breakthrough will come, friends, when this love is demonstrated. I'm not saying it's not demonstrated in the church. I wouldn't have the audacity to say that. I believe there is a measure of love in this fellowship. And there always has been. But I believe, and I really believe in my own conviction, that the fellowship, quite a lot of years ago, had more love in it than it does now. Now that might sound really, harsh, but I believe it, friends. I remember the days when we used to go around people's houses. I remember the days the fellowship was more than it is today. And I feel as a family, and maybe others feel the same, that we are more isolated from connection with other families in the church, other couples in the church, other people. Possibly food for thought, friends, that we could do something about that. This kind of love is fundamental, and it's not a natural love, it's a spiritual love. It comes when you are born again. It comes to you when we're full of the Holy Ghost. It's spiritual. And it's imparted to us by the Spirit of God. The love of Christ is shed abroad in our hearts by whom? The Holy Spirit. So it doesn't take a rocket scientist or intelligence to think, if I have more of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to have more love for others, for my brothers and sisters. The more you get filled with the Spirit, friends, the more I get filled with the Spirit, the more I am capable of loving as Christ loved. Without that, it's virtually impossible. Because all we are is an organization, just like the Legion Club, just like WI, just like the YMCA. We're a club like anybody else. But when love, God's love, is amongst us, there's something special. There's spiritual. It's something spiritual. And when our gifts and when our actions are motivated by love, that's when I believe God commands the blessing. I believe God will command the blessing then. And of course, fruit. Love is a fruit. Fruit of the Spirit is love. No one can experience this kind of love except they have the fruit of the Spirit. And so if Christ is living in us, we have that Spirit within us. We have the potential, praise God, to grow that fruit of love, that fruit of love. But as I said earlier, there's a breakthrough. To have a breakthrough, I believe that something's got to break. Something's got to break in me. Something's got to break in you. And I don't believe it's an easy thing. You know, Watchman Nee, if you've read any of his books, he wrote a book called The Release of the Spirit. And Watchman Nee says that, you know, within us, right at the center, right in the inner man, is God dwelling in our spirit as a believer, as a Christian. But then he draws another circle, which is our body, our soul life, which hinders the release of the Spirit. What stops me from loving how I should love is my flesh, is my mind, is my soul, is my emotions, is my will. Because love is an act of the will. It's not an emotion. People think it's an emotion. It isn't. It's an act of the will. We choose. We choose to say, I will love this person. We will choose to say, I will love the unlovely. You choose to love your enemy. That's a choice. You choose it. And we have to humble ourselves to do that. That is the breaking. That's the process of the breaking. To break our self-centeredness, to break ourself and have self-denial. And there's a scripture I want to bring to close this message, but it's a scripture from the Old Testament, and it's found in Hosea. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. Goes like this: sow to yourself or yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy, and break up your fallow ground or your hard hearts. For it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you. Break up. We're talking about breaking. It's got to be a breaking. And I don't know about you, so part of your heart could be hard. The breaking is breaking the hardness of heart, friends. Whether you have been hurt in the past, the heart can grow hard. We can be hard against the Word of God, where we need hearts that are soft, and we need to let the seed of the word go into the heart, our hearts, which is cultivated and which is good ground. Break it up. That is us. That is your job, my job. God's not going to do that for you unless we're willing for it to happen. I believe God will give you help in it. And when God's Spirit comes upon you, friends, there can be a breaking of hardness. I remember when I got filled with the Holy Spirit when I was 18. First time I was filled with the Spirit. You know, there was a few people in the church that I didn't really get on with, you know. Yeah? Anybody like that? And they were mostly elders. And I thought the church could be run this way. So I went to the elder. I said, look, we've got to get out on the streets. And you should be leading by example. You should be on the street. Of course, I offended him. The pastor came round and reprimanded me in a nice way, tore me off. And then, not long after that, one prayer meeting, the pastor said, is anybody here would like to come out, you know, and receive healing for your sick body? Well, I didn't have a sick body. So I said, well, I want something from God, you know. I was hungry for God, so I came out every opportunity. Hadn't been filled with the Spirit. Pastor put his hand on me. It was like a river flowing from him. Into me, the Holy Spirit filled me. Spoke in tongues. It was a time of Acts 2 experience, friends. It was. I wanted nothing else but an Acts 2 experience. That's for everybody, I believe. And do you know the amazing thing? Although I spoke and I felt very powerful, I felt courage and go, you know, I could go on the streets and just tell anybody about Jesus. I wasn't like that. I was a very, very shy young lad. I would hardly say anything in a group. I'm quite shy now, aren't I? In the leadership. Don't say a lot. But that changed me. And one of the main things was love. The love element. I had to go to that elder. I had to apologize. I had to break my heart before him. And we got something, you know, in return, a great friendship because of the love of God. And it was God's love that made the difference. It was God's love that changes attitudes. God's love changes our attitudes and our way of thinking. And I need more of this, friends. I'm sure this is for the church. I'm sure this is for us as a church, as Christians. To tell you the truth, I don't know many people very well here. And if you like me and you look around this congregation, you say, well, do I really know them? Do I really know them? Have I ever been to their house? Friends, I'm talking about practical things here. This is grassroots stuff. This is what changes fellowships. It's not the gifts, it's not the wonderful oratory preaching, friends. This is ground stuff, ground zero here. Love. God says love. The first thing I believe in that process, friends, is examination. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. That's us as well. Right? It's telling us to break up the fallow, the hardness of our hearts. It's telling us to seek the Lord. And how many times we've heard that over the last few months, to seek God, seek the Lord, while he may be found. Till he comes. One word, till. That's the time scale to seek God. Till. They waited in the upper room till the Holy Spirit came. They waited days, friends. Not hours. They waited days for the promise of his coming. Was it 9? 11? Something like that. Till he comes. Till God comes. Till God comes amongst us. Till God comes in power. And he'll come in love. He'll come in love, friends. He'll come when hearts are warmed towards each other. He'll come when it's not about our vision. He'll come when it's not about me. Or he'll come when it's about you and him and that intimacy with God. If you have that right, friends, we will not have any trouble loving one another. As we find out when we read this here. Examine the condition of your heart. What do you examine? What is there to examine? Well, look at your walk in God. Examine it. Your walk in God right now. Your prayer life right now. My prayer life. My actions. My attitudes. I've got to look at those. I've got to examine them, friends. We could be like David when we say, search me, O God. Know my heart today. You see, in Hosea, the state of Israel's backsliding was shocking. They were backsliding. God's love for Israel was so passionate, so he was passionate for Israel. But they were going away from God. Idolatry, Israel. You know, when I was dating, when Carol and me were going out dating, all I wanted to know was that she loved me. All I had to know was that she loved me. And I'm sure she was wanting to know, does he love me? You know, when you go out with a girl, when you're courting, can you remember that? It's that long ago, isn't it, for some of us? But the minute, the night, or the day when she or he said, I love you, you went home on cloud nine. You were sort of in the 10th heaven, if there is such a thing. I remember getting my first kiss. I thought all my birthdays had come at once. I'd actually kissed a girl, and I liked it. Feel a song coming on then. But anyway, sorry about that. But, you know, in a simple relationship like that, that's what we're longing for. That's what God longs for. That's why he said to Peter, do you love me? God's heart longs for us to say, I love you. God, I love you with all my heart, all my strength. And I want to finish with this verse, these verses. We used to sing these verses in our youth group. 1 John 4:7-8. Beloved, let us love one another. I like that word, isn't it? Beloved. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone who loves with this agape love, right? Not the world's love, the agape love of God, is born of God and knows God. That's your proof that someone is genuinely saved. That they love God with all their hearts. And they know God. They know him. He who does not love does not know God. How simple can you get? If you don't love, you don't really know God. For God is love. He is love. That's his nature. That's the divine nature. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. If we love one another, God abides in us. And this is the whole direction of this message, friends, for breakthrough in the church. If we as a church fulfill this and work at it and try and get there, yeah, we might fail, might say things that we shouldn't have. But I believe that God looks on the heart and God sees the heart, friends. God abides in us and his love has been perfected in us. There's a perfection of love. We might be in the process of this love being grown in our hearts and lives, and it's there, yes. But it's got to be perfected. It's perfected in us. And one of the greatest witnesses that we as a church can have is by this love, all men, all will know that you're my disciples if you have love one for another. And John puts that little word in there, if. If you have love one for another. I believe we're in the process of this kind of breaking I believe that the fallow ground, the condition of your heart, the condition of my heart, is in the process of learning to live with each other, learning to accept all our weaknesses, failures, but to be able to put this at the foundation. It's the rock of this church, friends. Let's make it more of a rock. Let's strengthen it. The love, right? And let's do practical things to stir it up, to pursue love, to go after that love, the love of God. And when we look at each other, we don't see our weaknesses and our faults. We see Jesus. We see the love of God in us. And I said at the beginning, I don't know why God gave me this word. Well, I do, actually, because He normally chooses the foolish things of this world. He normally chooses the people that are most unlikely to talk about this. And that's not to inflate any ego of mine, friends. I honestly believe that before we see the miracles, before we see new miracle growth in the way that we want to, love has got to start. It's got to start, I believe. I apologize, Cliff, if I'm saying something out of order, but I believe it's got to start in the leadership. We, friends, we brothers, have to model this to the church. If we don't model it, we can't expect the church to do it. Right? So this message comes to us as a leadership and to the church as well, friends. Beloved, let us love. Let us love. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Friends, it's a tall order, isn't it? But it can happen in a tremendous way. And we want the Holy Spirit to be the orchestra of it. Let's pray. I want the worship team to come forward. We've got to sing just a little short song. It's a song that we've sang for many years. But I asked Paul if we could have this. Because breaking requires a melting. A melting of hard hearts. A melting of hard spirits. A melting. Lord, melt our hearts. This is a song which has probably got two lines in it. Jesus, 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 your love has melted my heart. Let's sing it. Let's sing it. And let's make it a prayer. Allow the Holy Spirit this morning, as we sing it a few times.